Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to the Growler, a Hootay podcast hosted by Paul Dana and other bald friends like Mo Egger, Dave Nanamets, home of all your Bengals breaks, takes. Welcome to the Growler.
Yes, welcome in to the latest edition of the Growler. This is Balds Don't Lie, Paul Aner Jr. of The Athletic. But you know, it's kind of weird sitting here on a Monday, not across from a fellow bald, instead a beautiful head of hair. Joe Dannemann, Fox 19, good to have you, buddy.
Quite the toe tapper that song is. I was literally tapping my toe as the song was playing. I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
My question is this. I see you and I watch the show and I see everybody with the wonderful microphones and the great backgrounds. How many podcasts do I need to do before I graduate to actually buying all the equipment I need, getting out of my basement office with literally nothing in the background, getting all the accoutrement that a podcaster might need? Because I feel like, you know, I do your show a couple times a year. Whenever you need to scratch the bottom of the barrel and fill some time, you call over to Fox 19 and see what's going on with Joe or Jeremy. But, you know, between this and the other podcasts that I hop on here, especially during draft time, especially seems to be a time when everybody is doing shows, especially Bengals-related shows. I feel like I need to graduate myself and get one of those cool mics that you and Mo got that can, like, move around and – yeah, it looks
you
cool.
Can do it. I mean, I think you could do it. I think, you know, go you. I know you've got some stuff. I mean, you've got kids. They've got I go with the kids' artwork behind me. You've got it's really easy to just put something up behind you if you want. And look, everybody's got a podcast. Every single person, you know, probably has a podcast these days. So you might as well just get yourself a mic so that you're ready. I think you're already there. You're already Fox 19. There you go. There it is.
See, I have this. Yeah, I did an event for the Greater Cincinnati Basketball Hall of Fame, and they gave me a hat. You know, they gave me a hat. I never asked anybody for anything, and they gave me this cool Carolina blue hat. Little known fact about me, Paul, I was born in North Carolina, so I kind of consider myself a closet Tobacco Road basketball fan. So, little Tar Heel.
That's
blue.
What you do. A nice bookshelf, some cubbies, put your hat in there, a few other things, and we'll have you also. We'll get you there. We'll get you there in no time. Fox 19 going to kick in and get that taken care of because you're going to have one before too long, I'm sure. I don't know how we could add it on to what you guys are already doing over there. The flagship, the home of the Bengals now. Congratulations on that, you guys. I look forward to watching y'all crush all the Bengals stuff you guys are going to be doing this year. But, you know, there's so much that you guys are doing. And I hope people, I try to say it here, go to watch you guys, because nobody does it better in the city as far as I am concerned. And so it's going to be great having all the Bengals stuff funneled to you guys as well.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. And I thank you for that, for saying that. There were so many people I work with that put in so much hard work to make this happen. And I hope the reputation that Jeremy and I have helped play a small role in us landing this. Obviously, you've given a lot of your time to us. I don't want to make this a love sesh here, but certainly you have done a lot for us, and we are very appreciative of that. You know, the cool thing about this, Paul, is, you know, we're expanding so much Bengals programming, not only in the season, that's where you'll see the biggest difference, but we're having a post-draft special. We're putting together some ideas for training camp, that kind of thing. With that comes a lot more work. And in 2024, it's almost unheard of for local TV station sports departments to expand. We are expanding by three people. So it's been Jeremy and I for just the last 10 years, and that's all we've known. We are bringing on three new people. We're in the process of interviewing and looking at demo reels and all this stuff that I haven't done in a long time. So the Fox 19 sports team will be expanding by unimagined levels here in the next couple of months.
Let's go. It's about time. You guys deserve it. Get some underlings. You can start bossing some people around, Joe. That's what it needs to be. It's enough of you and Jeremy. They're like, look, these two guys, they're hanging out way too much. It's apparent. Okay. I mean, I just am happy that maybe somebody else for you guys to share your inside jokes with at this point, because it's over the top.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. It's like the scene in Office Space with Michael Bolton. Let's just do this. Is just a hypothetical, having this many people working under you. But I definitely think it's important to bring more people in, because the number of things we're going to be doing here is going to be a lot of fun. It's exciting for us. In days like today, when it's open locker room and Zach Taylor starting at 9:45 and then working all the way through the 11 o'clock news, when you've been doing it for 23 years like this, these 15-hour days can start to wear on you a little bit. So to have some help and more bodies is going to be excellent. Maybe I can actually just work a 50-hour week. That would be great. If I could just cut it down to 50, then we're talking a sweet spot.
Well, that's because you won't take anything but the best, and that's where I want to start. And that is yesterday on Sunday – you went up to T. Higgins, had his camp, which was kind of a late addition camp. It was the whole thing around it was kind of odd. Of course, he has this trade request hanging out there. We haven't heard from T. I had a major duties for opening day of the first grade Hyde Park baseball team that's been very discussed on Who Dey Light. And it was at the worst possible time. First pitch at 2 o'clock and T talking at 2 o'clock in Loveland. And I was like, oh, I wish I was going to miss that. But you know what? Joe's going to be there, so I know it's going to get done. And sure enough, as soon as I came out from our victory, it was great. It was great to look out and see that exactly what I thought happened. And that was, yeah, this was an environment where there was not supposed to be any questions about T's situation with the Bengals, but that doesn't mean the questions can't be asked, and you did. Take me behind the scenes of what happened up there and how that all went down, with T eventually saying, as you know, as much out there now, that his answer to you is that he anticipates playing for the Bengals in 2024.
So I'll set the scene here. When we arrived to Loveland High School, first of all, I had to park in like the third auxiliary lot because there were that many people lined up. When I say a line, it went from the football field all the way back to like the practice fields and through two parking lots. The number of people there just to get a glimpse of T. Higgins is kind of sobering when you think about just the impact these guys have in this city. We saw it with Joe Burrow on the New Heights podcast and the excitement there was to have him at Fifth Third Arena and what was really his first public appearance I can think of that magnitude ever in Cincinnati. But just to see the number of people there waiting for T. Higgins, and then to go inside and look, this came with a press release, and you mentioned it. The press release said that T. Higgins will only answer questions about the youth football camp and getting out there and working with the kids. Now, so you go there, you set up, and you're waiting for T. Higgins. And, you know, T did not make us wait like some other people tend to do in the athletic world. T's a very reliable guy, personable guy, approachable guy. So I was thinking all along going into this, at some point I'm going to ask him, whether it's on camera, off camera, just to get at least a thought of what he's thinking about at this time with this trade request on the table. So this takes all the massaging interview powers that you have over 2+ decades in this business. So I'll paint the scene for you. So we're set up in the end zone, and there's probably 300 kids on the field waiting for us to finish this interview with T. Higgins, to get pictures, to catch a football from T. So we can feel that pressure already of everybody waiting for us to finish this so T can go out there and do everything that they want him to do on the field with them. But also at the same time, you had like 5 or 6 event organizers as we're setting up, as I'm turning the camera on, as I'm doing a mic check, as T's getting ready, we're saying hello, of them saying in my ear again, only questions about the football camp. I'm like, okay, so I get it. I'm going to have to massage this thing. So how do you do it, right, Paul? We get it. And I've had a backfire on this before with Adam Jones, where you came in with the softballs and then you started to approach the bridge and then you fire your one fastball and then you get plunked by it, almost, so to speak, with Adam Jones. But so I'm sitting there and I'm firing all these softballs. And I kind of, after 3 or 4 of these things, I felt like the umpire, you know, the umpire, like when he runs out of balls in the little pouch next to him and he has to call to the dugout to get some more baseballs. That's me with softballs. I'm running low on softballs at this point, but I'm just trying to like kind of look behind me to see if these event organizers aren't paying attention. And the guy gets in my ear and he says, last question. And I said, well, we're doing this. What the heck's the worst thing that's going to happen? The event organizers not ask me to come back, kick me out. Okay. I'll go watch the Masters. That's great. So I said, just, okay, I wanted to at least put a bridge out there to see if T would be open to talking about this at all. So the question I asked was, look, this can be a really stressful time, I would think, for an athlete, considering everything the offseason's been for him, the amount we've talked about him, the amount his name's been out there in the public, now the reports of the trade demand on the table for the Bengals. He seemed like his normal self yesterday. I asked him, has it been stressful? How do you handle these kind of things? And he kind of seemed to open the door just a little bit. And then I said, look, I'm just going to go for it. Whatever they say, they're going to kick me out, they're going to kick me out. And I just said, do you anticipate playing for the Bengals this coming season? And the funny thing was, Paul, it felt like just for 2 seconds, you could almost see the wheels turning where T kind of wanted to play along with it and say, we'll see. But then he kind of remembered he's T. Higgins and his personality is not to be a jerk, but to be approachable and to answer the question. And he said, I do anticipate playing for the Bengals this coming season. I've fallen in love with Cincinnati and I look forward to the coming season. And just when we went for another follow-up at that point, the event organizers shut it down, said, we got to go. We got to get him. They grabbed him and took him off. So at least we got something from T, and understanding what he said in front of a bunch of Bengals fans and a bunch of kids. And so maybe it's a bit tailored to just satisfying the people around you and saying something positive about possibly coming back for the Bengals next year or this coming year. But I do think there was a genuine thought of T does anticipate, just like we do, that he's going to be a Cincinnati Bengal this coming season.
Yeah, it was well executed on your part when you know you've only got one shot at this and what's the most important piece of information that you want to hear come out of it. And it's like, look, at the end of the day, this is about one thing. You think you're going to be here, right? And give him a chance to either be contentious or to, you know, with the situation, not with you necessarily, hopefully not with you, but with the situation, or be back like, hey, yeah, you know, it's all good. And he took the it's all good route. I don't know. And I'd be curious your thoughts on this because I've shared mine a lot. I don't know that this changes. This confirms to me what we all have kind of anticipated here, where this thing was going to go. This confirms that there's really not a lot of options. Like, that's the unfortunate for the player. That's the unfortunate part of the franchise tag. Like, you're going to not come collect your $21.8 million check. Like, we all know what it is. We've seen it multiple years in a row. What was your take on what he said? Were you surprised by his answer to you?
I was not surprised because I really think that's probably going to be his only option. And I think T understands that. Now, there's only one play here, right, for he and his camp, and it's the card they played to put the trade request and the trade demand out there. That's the only thing they can do. But the likely scenario is, T. Higgins, you have one of two choices. You're going to play football for a team with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and you're going to make nearly $22 million. And then you're going to showcase yourself and maybe be like Jonah Williams, where it's good for both parties. You go play good football and you get a good deal out of it. So that's option one, which is the obvious option. Or option two is you're going to dig in here and you're going to prove your point. You're not going to play football and you're going to leave $22 million in one of your prime years on the table. I mean, that's not going to happen. So yeah. The only really thing here was exactly what you said, which is, what we anticipated T to say would be, yeah, eventually I'm going to come play football. And I think that's basically what he said. Now, the question is, when will we see him? And that was going to be my follow-up, right? Is the trade demand still on the table? And B, when should we anticipate seeing you? Because we didn't see him today at the start of off-season workouts. I don't anticipate seeing him anytime before training camp. And the question is, will he come to OTAs? Will he come to training camp on time? Will he do what Jesse Bates did and wait until later in training camp? You would think, considering his position and the timing and the chemistry and all that stuff that goes into playing wide receiver at a high level, that he would not wait that long into training camp to show up. But we've seen T before, right? You know, last year, didn't he show up? And do all the off-season things. And that was all mm-hmm. the question, like, why are you doing this when you don't have the guaranteed future here in Cincinnati? So, yes, the natural follow-ups would have been, is the trade demand still on the table? When are we going to see you here at the facility starting the off-season stuff or in-season stuff if it does go to training camp? Those questions never happened. But to your point and to your question, yes, this is really what we anticipated, understanding there was really only one option for T. Higgins, and that is – him coming, playing football, cashing big checks, and then getting the contract that, quite frankly, he deserves and he knows he deserves going forward.
Yep. And, you know, kind of on that note, Devonta Smith signs a 3-year deal today with the Eagles, 3 years, $75, $51 million guaranteed. Haven't seen all of the details on that in terms of where his fifth-year option is, you know, like where the rest of his deals connect. But, I mean, this deal is – like, this is what every contract has looked like for a receiver. Like, they all look the same way. This 3 years, mid-70s range, these guarantees in the 40, 50, 60, we've seen this time and time again. That's T. Higgins' deal. Like, that's where he belongs. That's what it should look like. And so I think that's another example of it. But the interesting about this is somebody who is getting this as a first-round pick before his fourth season. This is as rare as it gets. We have only Tavon Austin is the only receiver since the 2011 CBA to get an extension before year four, because everybody usually plays out that fifth year option or they sign them before that fifth year and use that. So this is rare, but the Eagles kind of operate differently. Often they go in early, and that's going to benefit them going in early, because guess what? Those boxes are going to get ticked off as you go down the line, including the big old one, which is Justin Jefferson. That's going to change the entire market. And we know Jamar Chase will be sitting there looking at that. But if you're thinking, what does this mean? If there's anything, it's like, okay, the Eagles kind of setting a little bit of groundwork for it can be done. It doesn't happen often, but if you're Jamar Chase, it can be done before year four. It's not impossible, but that was a very rare deal signed there by Devonta Smith.
And you might know more about the contract numbers of the big three in Philadelphia than I do, but it's also the construction, right? Can you pay the quarterback and the two star wide receivers? Because Jalen Hurts got paid. AJ Brown, they obviously paid him a lot of money to get him out of Tennessee and bring him there. So they have him. I'm not sure what his contract is going
forward. He's
on
the tail end of it. So they'll kind of cross paths in the air a little bit. And also scuttle about a potential AJ Brown trade could be something that they could try to swing, you know, 1 year early. Again, constantly looking the next one down the line. So I don't think they'll really feel the impact of two at once, which is kind of the whole point of all of this. But it's been a fascinating situation, and you handled it perfectly and got the answer that everybody wants to hear. I don't think this, you know, this doesn't take a T. Higgins trade off the table. It was already a slim possibility. But that's the we'll see element of where he started, right? I mean, it's, yeah, we'll see. Nobody quite knows what's going to happen for sure. You still got to get through draft weekend. And you never know. They could be blown away by a deal. Something could happen. You never know. It still seems very slim. And that's the second part of his answer, which was, look, I mean, I anticipate being back because we know where this thing's probably going to end. It's probably not going to be a trade that's going to occur. But you never know. Still got to get through the draft. So we'll see how that went. But Joe, excellent work as always up there making that happen. And we will definitely be checking back in with you as we get closer. And I mean, you got to get all these people hired here, man. The season is going to sneak up on you fast now that you're going to have this whole crew of people walking around with you.
It's a great thing though, right? Because obviously, we understand that this moment in time here in Cincinnati, and it's like anybody. You look at what you do in the expanded podcast and what we're doing now in the expanded coverage. We understand the moment, right? There's this window. It's not just the Bengals who understand the moment and the window with Joe Burrow. I think everybody around this team understands is trying to capitalize the best we can to feed everything the fan base wants with this team. Because when we look back on it, Paul, when we're retired and our career is over, we're going to look back on this 10 to 12 year window of Joe Burrow as the most important part of our careers covering the NFL. Now, mine's different because obviously I cover everything there is to do here in town with the Reds and FC Cincinnati in high school and college. But certainly the NFL is what drives the market here in Cincinnati. So to understand the moment and understand the window, there's a responsibility that comes with that of meeting the moment. And I hope we are by adding more people, adding more coverage to try to do the best we can to give Bengals fans everything they want for this team going forward, because we anticipate this thing the next 10 years of being pretty special here in Cincinnati. And I think it's pretty cool for us to be a small part of it,
man. And that's just an opportunity for more shout outs on Saturday night on Fox 19 for me, which I got. And I appreciate the other day because I am your demographic. All right. I'm there. Just know I'm always watching. Okay. I'm always watching. I am as dedicated as it gets. I'm dedicated to you, to Jeremy, to Ethan Embry, to Chancellor Wynn, to all of our great friends over there at Fox 19. I am here for you every night.
And it's more opportunity for you to get Fox 19 airtime because there's no one in the world we love to put on TV more than you. The elite Bengals conversationalist.
There it is.
Paul Daner Jr.
Love it. Joe D, appreciate your time. Well done on everything. We'll talk soon.
All right, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, Joe Dannemann, Fox 19. Make sure y'all check him out. Real quick, before we go any further, I want to tell you guys about my2dheroes.com. I don't know if you have any of the old wrestling figures, I got Hulk Hogan here. I got Ultimate Warrior. You had them in the pack. Maybe you still have them in the package and you want to sell them and you love them. Well, guess what? If you go to my2dheroes.com, they turn those into 40-inch tall cutouts that can be magnets or can go on your wall. They hang up easily with like command strips and stuff. These things are awesome. And so you name it, wrestling, you've got Star Wars. I mean, I got two girls, Frozen is in there, so Anna and Elsa could be big and put up on my kids' walls, which is just going to absolutely blow their mind and make them so thrilled. They're outdoor safe, waterproof. They easily hang up. It's fun, and it's great for any collector that has everything. Make sure you go check it out now. My2dheroes.com, and go check it out. Find one for you. They're affordable, super fun for anybody that's a collector. And look, Ultimate Warrior, any chance to get the more Ultimate Warrior in my life, you know I'm taking it. So make sure you check that out, my2dheroes.com. All right, let's bring in my hero and yours. And that is our good friend from ESPN 1530, Mo Egger. What's up?
I just love how you pivot from the dean of Cincinnati television sportscasting, this incredibly talented television journalist, and then you have to spend some time with me.
The dean of radio. I mean, let's go. I mean, you look, it's,
I don't know about
it's
that.
It's as good as it gets right sure. now. I mean, yeah. I want to start with some Bengals stuff.
Okay.
But just know Charles Oakley's coming. I got some questions and I want to talk to you about your relationship now.
We're boys.
With Charles Oakley, which is remarable.
Yeah.
Let me start with this. We've talked so much draft, every angle. I don't really know how many different directions we can go with that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Today the locker room was open. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to kind of see some people for the first time in a while, some more interesting to see than others for many different reasons. One of them that is particularly interesting was Dax Hill. Mm-hmm. And much has been discussed about where he's at. I'm going to play a snippet of his interview with us today. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about where he's at, what he's saying, and what all this means. Here's Dax Hill.
Is your goal to be a safety? This year there's been so much talk about positions and different things. Obviously you can do a lot of different things. Is your goal to be safety this year?
My goal is to, you know, to be the best version of myself. That's what I try to put on, you know, day in and day out, you know. And that's whatever guys call me to do, I'm going to do that, you know. So I'm not really worried about anything.
With the guys that they signed, did they specifically reach out to you and say, hey, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it?
Yeah, they did. They definitely did, and I appreciate that, you know, just having that conversation before things turned out. So really just hearing them out with why they did the things they did, and really just, you know, still being myself. So whatever happened, I can't control that. But you know, I'm gonna just put my best foot forward. So.
What do you think your best
role is? I mean, whatever role they tell me to do. That's all I can say.
Whatever they tell me to do. Still no sense of, you know, I don't know. I'm going to find out today what the plan is. I don't really know what the plan is. I'm going to do whatever they want me to do. I reflect. I'm going to be a better version of myself and whatever that means. And, you know, the Bengals reached out to him and talked about what they were doing. Zach Taylor said, look, everybody knows what the plan's going to be. We're just not going to be talking about it yet. I don't think they know yet.
I don't think they know yet. Yeah, okay. I don't think they know yet, and I don't expect them to. It's April 15th.
Yes.
Like, why would they know? They haven't practiced yet. They haven't gotten the pieces on the field yet. They haven't seen what Dax can do relative to what he did last year. Now, Dax and I will say this. It's interesting we have the same goal, because I wake up every day, and my goal is to be the best version of myself I can be, too. But yeah. Why would they know? Like, isn't that what training camp is for? To figure out who can do what?
And isn't that what the draft is for?
Right. I mean,
feels like that to me is the last thing hanging in this equation is nobody knows what the draft is going to bring at this point. And that's going to reformat when you have a versatile player that you're looking for a spot for. You got to see where his versatility will best benefit you. And that depends on what your personnel looks like, whether it's a first round pick or a second round pick or a no picks. Yeah. Like, that's dependent. And so everybody is being very cautious with this. And I feel like Dax, he certainly seemed to be in a good place. And he says, yeah, I'm in a good place. I'm fine. I'm just going to do the best I can every day. and that's all I'm going to focus on. But there's also a part of when he talks where he's just like, he's just kind of fed up is too strong, but he's just kind of like, yeah, going through it again. I'm used to it. Like, first year was kind of crazy. Last year ended up didn't work out the way I want. This is kind of the NFL for me.
But that's on him. Yes. I mean, he played every snap last year. That's on him. That is what the Bengals have done at his position and where he is right now is mainly a reflection of how he performed last year, and his performance left a lot to be desired. And he had an easier runway than many in his position, given the fact that he had a chance to back up and watch, you know, Jesse Bates for a season, and not much was expected of him. And he could sit back and learn. And yeah, he got thrust into some situations that season that maybe were unfair to him, but still, where they are and the amount of uncertainty surrounding him is a reflection of his performance. So let's see how his performance impacts where he is and what his role is come September. The offseason isn't half over yet. Today was day one of the offseason program, whatever that looks like. And so I'm interested in finding out, you know, over the course of the next couple of months, and obviously much more so once training camp gets here, how does Dax Hill's performance on the field, how does his performance in preparing for the season impact what his role is in a positive standpoint, from a positive standpoint, or perhaps negatively as well? Where Dax is a reflection of how he performed last season. What he does for this team this year can be a reflection of how he performs during the offseason, during training camp, and during the preseason. And so I'm interested to see how his role gets shaped by what he does on the field and in meeting rooms and stuff like that over the next couple of months, on top of whatever else they may do during the draft at his position.
Yeah. And it's not like it would be hard for everyone to concoct a new plan on July 26th. Could be the day before camp and be like, okay, here's actually the plan that we're going to go for right now. We're going to change it all up, and this is what we're going to do. Then fine. Then you should still have an expectation that Dax can come out and play well, because whatever that is, you're not going to ask him to go play defensive tackle yet. Yeah. We'll see what the draft
is. Also, you talked about versatility, and I remember when they drafted him, that's the word that everybody used, right? He's versatile. Okay. So the fact that we are even talking about him having a role that's more than just backup safety is also a reflection of the fact that they view him as a versatile piece who can do other things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if they try him at corner, wasn't that talked about when they drafted him? Like, yeah, maybe in a pinch, or maybe out of necessity, or maybe because it just doesn't work out at safety, they could use him at corner. Okay, well, where he is, the fact that this is even being talked about, yes, it's a reflection of how poorly he played at safety last year, but we're still talking about him doing other things, which is a statement perhaps about his versatility. So he has a wonderful opportunity in front of him. A terrific opportunity in front of him. And I hope that's how he's viewing this. He has a role on this team. It's up to him to figure out what it is.
I thought it was refreshing here, him talking about how he needed to reflect and see himself in a different light and understand he needed to be better and understand that he has to take a leap this year if he's going to be an NFL player. And it seemed like whatever was said to him on the way out the door, he came back sounding like a guy that it resonated with, where he wasn't going to complain about the fact that, I mean, and he could have sat there and been like, yeah, I wasn't super thrilled to see Geno Stone and Von Bell both show up, and now I don't know where I'm playing again. Like, he could have, but he didn't. He had the right attitude about it and said, look, I have to be better. I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. My best role is the one that they give me. And so he properly evaded, I believe, every different way he could be asked about what he wants to do, which it was about 14 different pitches that were thrown at him. He evaded all of them properly and said all the right things. And I think that's an important first step for him, is to get in a better place mentally, not let last year shake him. Focus on being the best player he can be. He seems to have done that. So I think that's encouraging.
Yeah. I would like to think that nothing that has happened so far this offseason to him has been a surprise. He knows how he played. And I'm sure Lou Anarumo and the coaching staff have been very upfront with him about how they feel about how he played. Lou was upfront with you guys about how Dax played at the end of the season last year. So why wouldn't he be face to face with his player? And I agree with you. You and I talked about Dax a month ago, and you said when they come back, he's the guy that I'm looking forward to talking to most. He made himself available. He answered the questions. I didn't hear the entire scrum. I just heard what you played. But, yeah, I mean, I hope beyond what he says publicly, I hope he uses this as not just motivation, but uses what happened last year, uses the experience gained from playing the entire season last year on top of what's happened this offseason, and channels that into a terrific offseason. And whatever his role is, like, Dax can play well in a different role, or he could play well at safety if that's what the team needs. And there's still a lot of upside there. So I'm really interested to see. I'm really interested to see by the end of the season, what conversations are we having about him specifically? But, you know, again, like I would have been surprised had he stepped in and said, yeah, they told me I'm going to do A or I'm going to do B. This is up in the air. And now over the next 4.5 months, Dax and other things will determine what his role is. And I hope for his sake that there is a role. And if he has a good offseason, there will be.
The other thing I want you, we got our latest non Joe Burrow update from Zach Taylor, who, you know, progressing well. I mean, yeah. We continue to hear all the things that you want to hear. Nobody, Zach Taylor is not going to stand up there and make any proclamations or use timelines. He's, mm-hmm. he is, far too experienced, and has too many failures and successes in that regard in his career to go up there and do that again. But I think we know enough. Everybody feels very good about mm-hmm. where Joe is at. He's going to be here. He's going to be throwing here mm-hmm. at some point soon. And all of that is good news. You were at the New Heights event mm-hmm. on Thursday. Joe Burrow was there. He is still beloved, according to the crowd reaction in Cincinnati. What yeah. did you think of Joe Burrow and the New Heights experience? And are you thinking about doing your own version of the Lom Baby games in your backyard?
Yeah, but we're not going to film them. Yeah, just going to be for me and my friends. Yeah, yeah. Just going to. We have a bounce house that we're going to fill with Skyline Chili, and I'm actually just going to like roll around in it. Yeah. No, I went. And in the aftermath of it, a lot of people said to me, like, what was it like? And my response was, it was just fun. Like, yeah. I don't know. We were joking before, like, all right, what newsworthy item is going to happen here, right, that you guys are going to have to report on? I'm not really sure there was anything. You know, some took the, well, we're built to beat the Chiefs thing and ran with it. And I'm not sure that what he said was all that surprising. What stood out to me, and I talked about this on my show on Friday, you know, as fans, boy, we want these guys to hate each other. And yeah, sure, the Bengals and Chiefs, there's some distaste, I'm sure, by Kansas City players aimed at Cincinnati and vice versa. But I was just taken by the abundant and obvious respect those guys have for each other. You know, the shared experiences of being high profile, highly accomplished NFL players. Now, Travis and Jason, for that matter, and Orlando Brown, too, have what Joe wants and what we as Bengals fans want him to get. But Joe Burrow and Travis Kelce and Orlando Brown are three main figures in what I think is one of the NFL's best rivalries, maybe the NFL's best rivalry. And yet there they are on stage together, just I think showing a great amount of respect for the games they've played against each other, for the common experiences they have, for the hard work they know that each one of them puts in. And I just think that's really cool. You know, we as fans, we want these guys to despise each other and we sound off on other fans. But in environments like that, when you have some like highly accomplished dudes who are close to the absolute peak of what they do, I just get a kick out of watching the shared mutual respect they have for each other. And I think that was abundantly clear on stage. That doesn't mean that when the Bengals and Chiefs play, these guys aren't going to try to kill each other, because they will. But I think there's a great amount of respect among the guys on that stage. And for me, at least, just as a sports fan, and as a Bengals fan and as a UC fan, I thought that was really cool to watch just sort of play itself out on stage last Thursday.
I think that's been part of the draw of New Heights in general is, yeah, these guys are connected because they're brothers, but they're mm-hmm. they're two players on different teams and viewing the league in a different way. And I think
the level of competitor that you have to be at to be any of those guys that were on that stage at the top of their game, there's nothing that they love more than, like Travis said in his own way, competing against the best. Like, that's what it's about. And there's so much respect baked into that. I just think it's cool to see the acknowledgement of competition against the best other teams to do it was where all the respect lived in that conversation. And I just thought that was really the cool and where so much of the fun comes from. And I wish there was more of that. Like, I wish there was more acceptance of the fact that this isn't me hating you. This is me desperately wanting to be you because we are beat you because we are all the most competitive people, you know, in that play this sport. And that's part of why they're here. And I just think bringing that out to the forefront has been part of was the cool part of that. And a cool and what part of what has been the secret sauce a little bit, I think, with New Heights.
Yeah. And even like it got a little wonky with Jason Kelce and Orlando Brown talking about pass blocking, but that's just neat. And like, you know, 45 minutes of that probably would have been rough, but you know, for a few minutes, Jason Kelce is going to be in the Hall of Fame and Orlando Brown's had a terrific career and made a lot of money. Like those two guys just talking shop is really fun for me. Like that's, I equate it to one of my new favorite podcasts, which is LeBron James and JJ Redick getting really nerdy about basketball. And you know, it's on a really high level. And even like me as a basketball nerd, like some of it's like a little much, but just, you know, two guys talking shop. And so I got a kick out of that. I got a kick out of Joe and Travis just talking about some Bengals Chiefs games. Mm-hmm. I think that's neat. And I'm sure behind the scenes, there's so much more of that. And again, like those guys want to kill each other when the Bengals and Chiefs play and it's as good a rivalry as I think you'll find. But even like in the aftermath of the game on New Year's Eve, where Chris Jones is caught on camera, you know, telling Jake Browning how tough he is, and like I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And we as fans don't often behave that way. Players usually do. The respect for the level of work, the respect for the level of achievement, and you know each. I think specifically with the Kelce brothers and Joe Burrow, Jason and Joe talked about like the rough spot that Joe was in when, you know, things at Ohio State really weren't working out. And he gets a text from Travis Kelce in the aftermath of the Eagles winning a Super Bowl and Jason Kelce being a guy who famously so was a walk-on at UC and initially really didn't have a position. And Travis Kelce, who kind of had to work his way back in to the good graces of UC's coaching staff. And then, I had to work his way in from a guy who was taken in the third round and viewed as kind of a flake to a guy that's regarded as maybe the greatest tight end of all time. Like these guys have each of those three have gone from a place of real difficulty to what they are now. And them sort of relaying those experiences to each other in front of an audience, man, that was cool. I said to my wife the next day, like, I don't know that I would have listened to that podcast. I usually consume the New Heights podcast via the clips, to be completely honest. But like, I'm glad I was there for that. And if there's more of that, dude, I'm in. So to me, for me, it was an advertisement for what that podcast could be. And if there's more of that, I'm in.
Yeah. And just, you're right. It was all based in fun. They also talked about aliens, particularly Joe Burrow's tweet about aliens. Which we have previously discussed here because we are here. We are your center to make sure that aliens are always at the forefront of your conversation. That was pretty simple, though. There really wasn't anything groundbreaking about Joe's alien take other than he does want to see them. And I think we agree that we also, like Joe Burrow, want to see them. Yes. I sent you a video, and this is circulating on the internet a little bit, that is out there today, of what appears to be some sort of humanoid figure just in I don't know where that is, just hanging out in the air somewhere in California and caught on tape and people reacting with much concern. Does the existence of AI like make you wonder about all of these that we can't even trust the videos anymore? Or did you watch that and say, yep, more proof, here we go?
Well, what stood out to me was, are your dogs okay?
The mailman's here, so that's always going to be an issue. Go ahead.
What stood out to me is you sent me this thing on Twitter, flying humanoids stabilized witness one, and then witness two. Witness three starts with, like, there's, I don't know if you could see that, there's like some text. This took place in August of 2015.
Look, could it, doesn't matter. This is, does it matter?
Well, that's the thing. This has been around for 9 years and we're just learning about it now. We had humanoids in the sky 9 years ago. How is this just showing up now on our radar? How are we just finding out about this now?
Perhaps it was leaked by the government because they're like, all right, you're right. Joe Burrow wants to see the aliens. Give him the 2015 humanoid.
What AI now is a much more sort of omnipresent part of our lives than it was 9 years ago, correct? Right? Yeah. I mean, we had artificial intelligence, but we weren't talking about AI then the way we are now. 9 years ago is a long time. So I like the fact that this took place 9 years ago in not a pre-AI world, but in a world where AI wasn't as huge a part of our everyday life. Like, I just, it looks like the hologram of Princess Leia in the first Star Wars.
Yeah.
What is that, man?
I don't know. It could be real. It could be. I think my thought is the government's been holding on to this. And now Burrow said he wanted the aliens seen. So here they leaked this out, and now it's finally seeing the light of day. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, then somebody replied with a picture of the inflated Michelin man, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, also so, possible.
Also possible. But this is something. Flying humanoid, three different witnesses.
Yep.
Who just held on to their videos for 9 years.
Yes. Yeah, no, they were confiscated, and now they're finally seeing the light of day again.
I mean, if you saw that today, if you go outside today and you see a flying humanoid, you're just, okay, well, save that in my photos. Like, what do you...
It would seemingly be an instant post, I think, in today's day and age, certainly. I mean, again, there's always issues with a lot of these. We need something more reliable, okay? I want to see it.
I don't know if I want to touch it.
Yeah.
But I do. This is pretty, that's something, man. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's
something. Not, you know what is real though? We don't know, man, I don't know about aliens, but your relationship with Charles Oakley now, are you guys going to go to the Cincinnati Music Festival together?
Well, for those who don't know, Charles Oakley was on our show on Friday. Because we were offered a chance to talk to either him, Ice Cube, or Jordan Crawford, the Big Three. The Big Three is coming to town in July. And I responded back and said, look, we had Ice Cube on the show before. That was cool. Jordan Crawford, I get it. Played at Xavier. Great career. He'd be fun to have on. But I'm going to do something for me here. As a diehard fan of the two-seeded New York Knicks, Charles Oakley isn't like my wheelhouse. That is one of my all-time favorite athletes. It's one of the three or four coolest people ever. So we have Charles. So Charles came on the show, and he was awesome. But I asked him, you know, have you spent a lot of time in Cincinnati? And he goes, well, yeah, I go all the time to the Jazz Fest, which is now it's the Cincinnati Music Festival. And so then the wheels start turning in my head, and I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, late July is when the Big Three is coming. I scramble and see, yes, this year's music festival at Paycor is the same weekend as the Big Three. So maybe Charles will go this year, and perhaps he'll let me tag along with him and my producer, Taryn Bland, as well. And we could hang out, the three of us together. And I asked him on the air if I could go with him, and he said yes. So now I'm trying to figure out what the next step is, right? Mm. Like, have you ever, you know, back when you were dating, you meet somebody and it's like, let's go get a drink sometime. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, then, like, when do you follow up? When's the follow up to the, oh, you know how we said we were going to get a drink? You said, yeah, let's do it. Were you saying that just to be nice, or were you serious about it? And now I kind of feel like I'm there with, I'm going to call him Oak, because I think we're tight. Yeah. Now I'm kind of there with Oak, where I've got to, like, he called into us, so we don't have his number. So do I have to work through the person at the Big Three that set up the interview and say, hey, you know, Oak said we'd hang out at the music fest and just trying to see. Also, that is the that's the tail end of my wife and daughter and I are vacation. And so I now I got to figure out how to tell my wife, hey, we're going to have to come home a day early so I could party with Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here.
I like the idea of you just sending back to their publicist, Oak said we would hang out at the music festival. Can we arrange that? Can I have his personal cell?
Well, yeah, and like Oak said, I mean, it wasn't like, hey, we'll go and we'll get tickets like in section 313. He's like, oh, yeah, because New Edition is playing that night. I looked to like as I'm talking to him, I'm like, oh, New Edition, do you know those guys? And he's like, yeah, I know those guys. We'll hang out backstage. I mean, now we're getting into the weeds here. So now I've got to mention to Oak, not only are we going to hang out, but you said we go backstage,
hang out with New Edition, like,
and Taryn can come too. So we got a lot going on here. I'm trying to figure out how long do I wait? Do I wait to hear from Oak?
I think you just sent a nice inquisitive to the publicist. Oak said we would hang out. I'd love to lay whatever groundwork I need to now with music festival people. If you just give me an update on his thoughts on it, and then when you don't hear anything back, you'll know his thoughts.
Well, Charles Oakley is on X, and so I thought like I sent out the interview and I tagged him on it, and was hoping frankly for a follow back.
Yeah.
But maybe that'll jog. Oh yeah, that's right. July 27th Music Fest with that guy in Cincinnati. And then, you know, if I don't hear from him, I could always send him tweets and then kind of publicly shame him into living up to what he said publicly that he was going to do, which was to hang out with me at the music festival. And not just that, but then go from there. We have a casino, Charles. I don't know if you know a lot about Oak.
Yeah.
He likes the casino.
Yeah.
Life.
There you go.
And so I'm kind of hoping it can be like a whole big thing where it's like kind of me and Charles all weekend long.
Oh, Mo and Oak's big weekend.
Yeah.
Big Cincinnati weekend. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a lot of fun. If the Bengals will be in training camp. Maybe we can go to one of those practices together.
You guys will stop by still smelling like the casino from the night before.
Yeah.
Roll on up. You know, I got to feel like Oak's going to be able to get inside the ropes, at least into the VIP tent. I'm sure he knows somebody on the Bengals could, you know,
he and like Butch Hobson. Yeah. I mean, that'd be awesome. But he talked about going to the Bengals Super Bowl in Los Angeles and arriving at halftime. And I thought like, well, he's got to have like a pretty cool story why he just showed up to the Super Bowl at halftime. And it was because he went to the Super Bowl and in Los Angeles to help less fortunate people on Super Bowl Sunday and like serve meals. So then I felt like a jerk for assuming, you know, he was engaging in some sort of activity that is maybe not quite as noble. So I felt like maybe the interview is going to go sideways, but it didn't. We got it back on track. And Charles said, July 27th, we're going to Music Fest. So we'll see. I'm holding out hope. Yeah.
All right. Well, I will keep everybody updated on the status of this as we go along over the coming weeks. Everybody's going to be on pins and needles.
We have a lot in front of us between Humanoids and Charles Oakley and where Dax Hill's going to play.
Yeah, in the draft.
Oh, wow. That's coming up too.
It's going to happen too. I didn't ask you anything about the draft. We give ourselves a little bit of a break from it. But I'm sure tomorrow from 3 to 4 on ESPN 1530, we will engage in more draft talk.
We have a big show tomorrow because we have yourself and we have our guy, Dane Brugler.
Oh, the double. That's right.
Yeah.
Dane, I mean, if you don't have the beast at this point, you are missing. It is just, it's just unbelievable. I look forward to that. He'll be on this program as well. And I'm interviewing him today and I don't know when you're going to hear it, listener, but you're going to hear it soon. And it'll be up on the YouTube page after we complete it. So you can go check that out. Mo, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining. I will see you tomorrow afternoon.
I can't wait. Thanks, man.
Have a good one. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530, joining us. Joe Daneman, Fox 19, on here earlier. Great to have them on the show today. Wednesday, Jay and I will be back. Trenches are upon us. That's right. We're going to talk trenches. We're going to talk these offensive linemen. We're going to talk about these defensive linemen. And we're going to go full in on that part of the draft
And then Houdet Light on Friday. Make sure you send your questions over. You can send all of your questions over to thegrowlerpodcast at gmail.com. And I will answer whatever Bengals related or weird or ambush or whatever, something you got from Mark, who it sounded like had a great time at his set in Missouri this past weekend, including hanging out with some podcast listeners and some Bengals fans. So shout out to you guys that went to that show. But send your questions, thegrowlerpodcast at gmail.com, and we'll get to everything we can. And then draft week is here. You know that is going to be big here on the show. We've got tons of great stuff planned for you, including all of our walkouts after each day of the draft, and so much more. Keep listening for that. All right, thanks everybody for listening, and I will talk to you next time. Have a good one.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.